Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
Blood Puddle.
Fur Circus. Steven Ricker's Testicles.
T-Butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli.
Filippalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And now, our second hour on the Amusement Park, 96.9 FM, Wired Radio. You are now listening to Comet Tales, starring myself, the Dirty D, and our great friend with the great hat, Don Brecht. And we talk Fort Wayne Comets for the next hour because they're in the playoffs 2 years in a row. How about that, Don Brecht?
I'm super excited. You know why?
Why is that, Don Brecht?
Not just because the Comets are in the playoffs. You know why else?
Why else, Don Brecht?
Because over the weekend at the Comets game, I got to ride the Zambini at halftime.
Really?
The Zambini.
The Zambini.
Yes.
Yeah, because everywhere else it's a Zamboni, but in Fort Wayne,
right.
Because everything's better in Fort Wayne, it's the a Zambini. Zambini.
Right. You eat pizza while you're on.
Wow.
So that's a story. I was at lunch today. I've told the story a few shows ago that one day I was at the mall, I think, wearing my gold Nashville Predators jersey, and someone recognized it and tried to tell
kind
me.
Kind of recognized
they asked
it.
If I was a Tennessee Sabres fan.
Yes.
Well, today this jersey got me into another conversation. I was at lunch, and a guy walks up to me and points at me. And he goes, are you a Predators fan? And I said, yeah. He goes, my son lives in Murfreesboro, which is not actually a place. It's Murfreesboro, but close enough. My son lives in Murfreesboro, and he's a big Preds fan, and he even got to ride the Zambini at halftime one time.
Nice.
I was like, okay.
You got
congratulations.
Finger on the pulse of the NHL.
Yeah.
You are the fan that Gary Bettman is trying to win over.
Yep. You one Zambini at a time.
Anyways, unfortunately, we cannot talk about the Fort Wayne Comets because I got two friggin' pages here of crap. So, since our last show, the Icemen
played 5 games and lost them all.
Yeah,
the losing streak is up to 9 games. Back on Friday and Saturday, March 20th and 21st.
Oh, don't we just go right to Shocker's Hockey Rock Song of the Week?
A 3-1 and 7-3 losses at home to Florida. This past Friday and Saturday, the 27th and 28th, they lost 4-2 at Cincinnati, 3-2 at Toledo. And then the home finale was mercifully on Sunday, the 29th, and the Icemen lost 4-0 to South Carolina. Worth noting, the Stingrays had their ECHL record 23-game winning streak snapped at Indy the night before, so we all knew they would be a bit angry when they got here. Meanwhile, on the flip side,
now, if South Carolina had beaten Indy and then we had beaten South Carolina on Sunday, would we have the Hoosier championship belt?
No.
Oh.
We would have had the Inter-Carolina championship belt.
Oh, that's
belt.
Right. Yeah. The Inter-Carolina.
Right. So, meanwhile, the Icemen have had winless skids of 8, 9, 8, and 9 games since Thanksgiving. So, put those two things together, and I think it was not exactly a surprise, the outcome of Sunday's game.
Unofficially, I believe they have one win in March.
March, yeah, I think so, yeah.
8th against Wheeling is the only game I can find on the schedule that they won.
I'd have to go back and look, but they're few and far between. That's the point. So now 14-44-8, still DFL in the ECHL, and now officially the worst team in franchise history because this team cannot reach the 55 points that would be necessary to match the inaugural AHA team's winning percentage and avoid being the worst team in franchise history. On somewhat of a positive note, the crowd of 62-77 for the home finale on Sunday did get the season-long attendance average back over 5,000. It had been lingering slightly below.
What a coincidence.
Finished at 5,019 at the end of the season. That is down from 5,369 last year and 5,415 the year before. So it's a second straight year we've had a drop, but still over 5,000 with as much losing as this team has been doing is nothing too shabby, I would say. But at some point we need to start winning some games and turn the standings and the attendance around.
I'm not a big fan of the attendance game. Oh, we're cool. We've got the best fans because look at our attendance.
Look at our numbers.
Look at our numbers. We're better than you. Ooh, I have concerns because they only have 2,000 people in their building, blah, blah, blah. It makes no sense to me at all. You're either paying your bills or you're not paying your bills. And
we got some big bills.
Yeah, so anyways, yeah. Team awards.
They did announce the team awards, the annual team awards, which it's like who's left?
Yeah, no doubt.
Best forward was Jarrett Lucan, best defenseman Brandon Martell. Again, who's left? Community Service Award went to Randy Cure. The Players Player Award went to Zach Curry, and the fan favorite went to Peter Sakaris. That's it. That's since our last show. Moving on.
Chris Dreiger, NHL goaltender.
Yes, his first NHL stint back in February lasted 5 games. He dressed as Ottawa's backup for all 5, but never actually played.
We knew it was going to happen, though.
When he was recalled by the Sens again on St. Patty's Day, we didn't know how long he'd be there or if he would actually play this time.
Yes, and we did.
Now we know for sure. Dreiger spent another 6 games with the Sens, and this time he did see game action in his 5th game on their roster this time. It was Thursday, the 26th, last Thursday. Ottawa hosted the New York Rangers, lost the game 5-1. It was already 5-1 late in the second period, and Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar, was nursing a minor leg injury, so he was given the rest of the night off. And Dreiger officially became the first Iceman alum to play in the National Hockey League. He played the final 22-52 of the game, stopped all 10 shots he faced. And after the game, when the Ottawa website folks talked to him, he joked that he might have blacked out on the first save. He was so excited for being into the game. But
I wonder if there's a bunch of Evansville Iceman fan base that blacked out a bunch of their anti-Dreiger posts in the asylum
yeah.
when this was going on.
So he may finish the season with a perfect NHL save percentage because he's no longer with Ottawa right now.
Got to protect it.
Yeah. Hammond has declared himself healthy enough to play again, and Craig Anderson has returned from his latest hand injury. So Dreiger was sent back to the minors on Sunday the 29th, but not to Evansville. He will finish the season in the AHL with Binghamton unless something changes. The B-Sens have 9 games left, including tonight at Syracuse against the Crunch, one of my favorite team names. And they will not be making the playoffs, but he will probably finish out the stretch there. And he very well could have played his last game in Evansville because he is generally expected to start the season in the AHL with the B-Sens next year. So unless he plays himself out of a job, we may have seen the last of Chris Dreiger in an Iceman uniform.
Well, yeah, and I think part of it, too, is whatever contract he ends up signing, whether he's still under contract or not. That's why he got the NHL gig in the first place, because his contract allowed the Sens to bring him up, and he was a much cheaper option than the players they had in the AHL. Yeah. So
I believe he has at least one more year on his entry-level deal. Maybe so. 2, because I think, I mean, he turned pro at the tail end of last season, but that doesn't count against your contract. So I think this was the first year, and most entry level deals are 3 years.
Yeah.
But you know, it could be a 2-year deal. So I think he's got at least one more year, if not 2 more.
Yep. So he should be pretty set.
Yep.
To never return back to here.
And
well, I didn't mean it that way. But yeah, he'll get the AHL gig because he'll be ready to get called up if there's another injury or whatever else. And Craig Anderson would be an interesting decision for the Senators to make this year as well.
And there's been a lot of trade talk about possibly unloading Robin Leonard, too. Yep. So they got a whole lot of moving parts, and it's going to be interesting to see how they shake it out this summer.
Oh, my gosh. Iceman transactions and even more injuries. And we start with Pab Floppy.
Yes.
Chocolate Thunder.
So, since the focus has shifted squarely to evaluating players, the roster moves are still coming fast and furious.
Disagree.
You're disagreeing directly with what Al Sims has said.
Yes.
Quoting on the radio.
Yep.
Two players were returned to the SPHL to rejoin their original teams for the playoffs.
We can make a bet if you want.
Jordan Sims.
Taking me up on my bet?
What is the bet? What are the terms?
The bet is that Al Sims said he's keeping three or four players and blowing this thing up. So the bet is the three or four were on the roster before he started bringing the college kids in. I'm saying not one of these college kids will make the roster next year.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know that I'd take that bet because
You agree with me.
I think
so. You disagree with a direct quote from the coach.
I think that he will bring some of them in for camp, and it depends on how they perform as to whether or not they actually get a job. I think they will get signed. That doesn't mean they'll be on the roster for opening day. Just depends on how many.
Right. So you agree with me. He's not really evaluating. He's just bringing in bodies to finish off the season.
Because they're better than the ones that we have.
Well, and with all the injuries we've had, too, you've got to fill some roles.
True, so. Yeah. You just need blood pumping somewhere and not out onto the ice. So, two players returned to the SPHL. Jordan Sims to Peoria on Sunday the 22nd. Bo Driscoll to Knoxville on Monday the 30th.
That's cool.
We also signed a player out of the SPHL, Luke Greiner, a forward. He is a second-year pro, had 34 points in 42 games this year with the Huntsville Havoc, who I believe that's where Jordan Little is still working.
Okay.
They did not qualify for the playoffs, so his season is over, and he's getting a taste of ECHL, another taste. Because last year, as a rookie, he played 42 games in the ECHL with the South Carolina Stingrays. And before that, he played 4 years of college at a little place called Harvard.
Ah, interesting.
You ever heard of it?
I have heard of it. So has Patrick Kennedy.
Yeah. He signed and debutted on Friday the 27th, wearing number 18.
Ooh, that hurts.
Yep. Also, campus recruiting a whole bunch of college kids, as you mentioned. We talked about goaltender Alex Vezzano on the last show. He made his debut on Friday the 20th wearing number 41.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah. And Coach Sims said on ESPN 105.3 that Ottawa was actually scouting him before and asked Sims to give him a shot. We planned on signing him even before Driedger got called up. And Sims said he was just going to carry three to give Vezzano a look and see how things go. And then Driedger got called up, and that sort of solved that problem. And since our last show, four more kids have been signed straight out of college. They are defenseman Kyle Shapiro out of D3 Nichols College. He was thrice their top scoring defenseman. Signed on the 18th, debutted on the 20th. He's wearing number 25.
It's all
we're just recycling all these numbers.
Well, I mean, it's the whole 41. I mean, no one's worn that number since Isaac Coy,
other than these backup goalies. Yeah. For Joe Zarbo, played 4 years at Clarkson, which is a D1 hockey school. Twice their leading goal scorer, signed on the 25th, debutted on the 27th, and is wearing number 11.
Yep.
Jason Dale!
There you go.
Ford Cody Freeman, played 4 years at Canisius College, which is D1 up in Buffalo. Had 50 points in 73 games as a junior and senior. Signed and debutted on the 28th, wearing number 77.
Is that a new one?
Nah, Sulek.
Sulek, okay. That's what I thought.
And defenseman Chris Rumble played 3 years, also at Canisius College, with 39 points in 70 games as a junior and senior. Signed and debutted on Saturday and is wearing number 22. Mr. Wong, yes. Rumble is the son of defenseman Darren Rumble, who played 193 NHL games and over 700 more at the AAA level, prompting Mr. Sims to say that Chris comes from good stock. He is
sure Ron Gary appreciated that.
Yeah. He is
a little horse track.
Yeah, he's a thoroughbred. He is
also... careful. It is April Fool's Day. True. We don't need phone calls to the station.
Chris is also a cancer survivor. He was diagnosed with leukemia in 2012 at the age of 22, which he's wearing number 22 now. Interesting. Nearly died during treatments, but is now cancer-free. And during chemo, he produced a music video with the pediatric cancer patients at Seattle Children's Hospital where he was being treated. It was set to Kelly Clarkson's Stronger, and it went viral. 3.8 million views, and was mentioned by CNN, among others. I've got the information about that on the Maniac message board. If you haven't seen it, get the tissues ready before you click the link, because it will jerk at your heart, which is... No, never mind. So, Griner, Zarbo, and Freeman all scored in their Iceman debuts. We are now up to 9 players who have scored in their Iceman debut this season.
Impressive.
We just, I think Patrick McBrien or whoever it was on the asylum
might have been
hit
Aaron
on it.
Miller too.
We need to just recycle the roster every game if our new guys always score in their first game.
And again, I'm not taking any shots at Al Sims. He's bringing in bodies and everything else. I just, this roster needs more than college players.
Yeah.
I mean, this roster is getting blown up. And what I think it shows more is, and this is a tough situation for Coach Sims, but this is beginning to show his ability to recruit players to come to this town. And it's going to be a tough sell. We are going to have a hard time rebuilding this team over the next couple of years until things start turning around.
Yeah. And again, I don't think any of these college kids are locks to make the roster next year. I just don't think we can sell them short and say there's no way they're going to be around, because I do think there's some legitimacy to what Sims is saying and that he's going to give them a legitimate look. And that very well may include camp invites for some or even all of them next year. But as we've seen in the past, getting a camp invite does not mean you're guaranteed a roster spot. And, you know, I think, yes, he thinks he's got the 3-4 guys that he wants to build around as cornerstones, and everyone else is up for grabs. Now, that doesn't mean we will only see 3 or 4 names brought back. We could see some of these college kids, and we could see some of the veterans brought back, at least for camp. But that doesn't mean they're going to be on the roster when it starts counting.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
My guess is, just a guess, but my guess is we're going to see a more... not veteran laden, but experienced ECHL, CHL
fewer
laden
rookies,
roster.
DHL guys.
This is a team that's got to go 500 next year.
Yeah.
So you're not going to. And yeah, I mean, it's coach speak. Yeah, I'm bringing in these guys to evaluate them. Well, every time anyone steps on the ice, you're evaluating them, whether pro or con. So, but I would expect to see a lot more ECHL guys on the roster.
Agreed. Worth noting, goaltender Keegan Asmundson was a teammate of Freeman and Rumble at Canisius this season, and he just signed with South Carolina. Now, the Iceman played the Stingrays on Sunday, and Asmundson got the start in net, and he earned his first career victory in shutout fashion against his former teammates.
Well, he's an awesome goaltender. Why didn't we sign him?
Yeah, there you go.
If we would have signed him, we would have shut out South Carolina.
Exactly.
Because it's all about the goaltenders.
Right. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, after the game, the Buffalo
Chris
News...
Chris Dreger couldn't have shut out South Carolina.
Maybe if we put Dreger and Com and Vazano all in net at the same time, we could have shut out South Carolina.
Yeah.
The Buffalo News posted a nice feature about the 3 Canisius kids going pro, and it included a funny quote from Chris Rumble. He was talking about Asmundson getting the shutout. Said, "Good for Keegan to get the shutout. He's a head case, and that shutout will help him a lot more than the loss will hurt us." Translation, goalies are weird.
Goalies are weird.
There you go. A direct quote from a player saying so.
Yep.
So anyway, wrapping up with a bunch of injury updates. It seems like there's 3 or 4 new ones every show.
Not really. You just keep recycling the same ones over and over. We've already covered all of these.
These are new. Already declared out for the season were Andre Bouvet-Morissette and Jim McKenzie with conkies, Braden Pym with a knee, and Dan Sova with hip surgery.
Yeah,
among
the
new ones, Peter Sakaris, a fractured ankle on Friday the 20th against Florida. He has not played since and is considered out for the rest of the season. Also, per Brian Patafi, Randy Cure, who has been out with a groin injury since January 14th, has been officially shut down for the rest of the season. Miles Bell did not play the last 3 games. Patafi didn't mention him on the injury reports, but Coach Sims said that Bell is dealing with a foot injury. And Jarrett Lucan left Sunday's home finale in the second period with a leg or foot injury. Talk about bad luck. There was a delayed penalty, so... Vazano goes to the bench, and 2 or 3 guys tried to jump over to be the extra attacker. Well, Lucan,
it's like, that's Red Dragon hockey right there.
Lucan wins the battle. He's the guy that jumps off the boards, and everyone else retreats to the bench. He goes out. He's not out there for more than 5 seconds, and he takes a Brandon Martel slap shot to either the leg or foot.
D-man of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Taking out his own teammates. Could not tell where exactly it hit Lucan, but he was in major pain and did not return. Worth noting because he was the only player in the lineup on Sunday who was also in the lineup for the home opener back in October.
I saw you post that on Facebook.
And given his exit due to injury, that means we literally finished the home finale with a completely different lineup than we started the home opener with.
That just...
That's a season
that writes
in a nutshell,
the book,
isn't it?
That writes the book right there. Oh, my goodness. Anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, IcemanManiacs.com. The Maniac message board is the place to find the latest Iceman transaction and roster news. Up next, the best segment, because we don't even have to talk about Pab Thwaby. I can't believe you don't have any Pab. Why don't we sign Pab Thwaby at this point?
We should.
Shockers, hockey, rock song of the week.
Since the annual Guns N' Hoses boxing event is coming up on Saturday, April 11th at the Ford Center, I thought it was time to dust off a little tune that was the theme from Rocky III. It's a song that was almost never made, interestingly enough, because Sylvester Stallone wanted to use Queen's Another One Bites the Dust as the theme for the movie, but he couldn't secure the rights for it. So he went to the folks at Survivor and asked them to write something for the film, and that song turned out to be Eye of the Tiger. And, of course, it became a massive hit. I often played it at Swander, and remember Preston Roux? He would throw his hoodie on and run the steps like Rocky himself. So from 1982, for Preston Roux, who's probably not listening to this, this is Survivor.
His son Steven is listening because he is a Red Dragon.
Ah. Well, he listens to the first hour of the amusement park. He might not listen to the insights.
Oh, that's true.
From 1982, for Guns N' Hoses, this is Survivor, Eye of the Tiger. We'll be right back.
Youth Inc. has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, Youth Inc. has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our Youth Inc. family of supporters.
Now, Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
And we're back. Shocker. Dirty D. Wired. Live on a Wednesday afternoon in the studios.
Beautiful. April Fool's Day.
111 Northwest 4th Street. Down in the studio. And what's up next?
Mad speculation. By the mad scientist. Dr. Dirty D.
Step into my laboratory. Isn't it funny that I have to do that, making my hands go together and a weird look on my face for radio?
It's very method.
Yes, I'm a method radio guy.
So last time we found out that Robin Sudeck was limping badly due to a bruised leg that was, quote, besprinkled in scarlet horror.
Yeah, that was a nasty one.
Terrible.
Yep.
This time, our case of the week is Donnie Harris. He was officially a healthy scratch for the home finale on Sunday, but it's Donnie freaking Harris.
It's Donnie Harris. The guy's a monster. He's from West Virginia. Works out all the time.
There's got to be more to this story. So what is the truth, Mr. Truth Teller? Mr. Coach is lying.
Yeah, well, easy with that truth teller.
Mr. Speculator.
I am not here for the truth. I am here for speculation purposes only. This is what my license is.
Do we need a recorded disclaimer? Yeah. Mad speculation is for entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be truth.
Yes.
Donnie Harris. Do not sue us.
Has a parasite. A nasty parasite within the bloodstream.
Is it named Don Brecht?
Wow. Nope. And he didn't get it from a Zambini.
I resemble that remark.
Yes, indeed. So anyways, it is actually a specific parasite called Archituthis.
I beg your pardon?
Archituthis. And if you look at it closely underneath a microscope, it resembles a giant squid. And that parasite is living inside the host body that is known as Donnie Harris.
Yikes.
Exactly.
Does he need to be quarantined or something?
I wouldn't be kissing him. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, man. Too late.
So they need to.
There's probably some fans right now who are going, oh, no.
But he will have to go under examination to find the source of the parasite, hopefully with medicinal treatment, antibiotics, that parasite will be removed from his bloodstream. Doubt he will return before the end of the season.
Do you have to
Archituthis?
Do you wipe it out with a squidgy?
Oh, but a bump.
Yeah.
I can't even believe I let you on my airwaves.
I'll be here all week. Not really. Just today, live in the studio.
Live
on the
studio.
Beautiful
April
day.
April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day.
Shut up, Shockler. There you go. Oh, Brian Patafi, Tweet of the Week.
Yep. You can follow him on Twitter, B Patafi, B-P-A-T-A-F-I-E. He said, quote, I guess I'm feeling old when the Iceman players say they're honored that the city erected a statue of me, end quote. That's funny because he then posted a picture of Millie the T-Rex outside of SEMO.
I thought it was funny because you said erected. News and notes.
So it was first announced right here on Wired back in January.
Breaking news.
That Swander will be home to an NA3HL junior team starting next season.
Back in January, I had an interview set up with Mark Cody and still have yet to get that done.
To do it. Yep. But Bill Nadeau broke the news.
Yes.
And there is a big announcement scheduled for tomorrow, Thursday the 2nd. But info has been trickling out in the last few weeks. We now know that the team's colors will be blue, silver, gold, and white. And
for the Hoosier State.
The name will be, that's true, yeah, same as the state flag plus silver. And the name will be the Thunderbolts, a reference to the warplanes that were produced here during World War II up at the old Whirlpool plant.
Yep, they are awesome. I believe two of them flew in the air show back in July here.
Ah.
They are awesome looking machines.
I worked over at the old Whirlpool plant for years.
Oh, that's
and
right.
They had pictures of the old planes throughout the building. It was always a really cool piece of the history, because at this point it's an old dilapidated building in a lot of ways, but it was nice to see that it once served that purpose. And I've actually been advocating the Thunderbolts name for years. I've been upfront about stating time and time again, I'm not a fan of the Iceman name. I don't like it. I never have liked it. I live with it because, well,
it's our Iceman.
It's our Iceman, but I don't like it, and I've always thought Thunderbolts is the perfect name for a hockey team in this town because of the history of producing the planes, and because it sort of, in name, ties into the Evansville Thunder youth teams.
Yep.
So I'm a big fan of this name. I think it's an awesome name. So anyway, yes, the colors we know, the name we know, and the logo can be found on their Facebook page. They also have a website that is live but still under construction. And among the information that is currently available on that under construction site is that they are seeking host families. You can get information and download an application on the website. And they also have mentioned that they will be having a season pass that will get you into 20 home games for just $70, which I know math is hard, but that's not very much per game.
Nope.
$3.50. So, like, less than a McDouble combo, you can get into a hockey game.
I think I'm going to have to snag a couple of those passes right now.
Yeah. Also, we know that the coach will be Scott Fankhauser. That's a good name.
Yep.
Played as a professional goalie for 10 years.
Nope,
including,
it all makes sense now.
yeah. Including 23 games in the NHL, and he was previously an assistant coach for the evil Cincinnati Cyclones.
What? Cincinnati's not evil.
The non-evil Cincinnati Cyclones.
They only tagged Nathan Moon that one time, and he left town anyways.
He deserved it, right?
Yeah, now he did.
Because he won it out, because he didn't get an A.
That's right.
Yeah. Mad speculation. All known details, including a bunch of links, including the website and their Facebook page, can be found on IcemanManiacs.com on the Maniac message board, and we'll see what the announcement is on Thursday. It may just be confirming what's already on the website, you know, officially unveiling the team name and the logo and all that stuff.
ThunderboltManiacs.com?
We'd have to come up with something else. I don't know. But I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to be really cool, and I think they're off to a great start with the name and the logo and everything. The logo looks really cool, too.
And we never can, as you well know, my co-host that's always trying to organize my life for me. Are we doing a show this week? Are we doing a show next week? And you get the same crappy answer back.
Dude, I don't know.
It's not until tomorrow.
I can't see past the end of my nose. I don't know.
But hopefully the plan is we will give equal coverage to the Thunderbolts as well as the Iceman next year on Iceman Insights, all things being relative to our lives.
depending on how many games we actually go to and if we know anything. Because believe it or not, we actually do like to speak with some semblance of expertise.
Well, I'm planning on going to a lot. I know that there is a plan in place, whether it works or not, for them to schedule games
around
Iceman nights. So,
and that's the best way for them to succeed is if they're not going head-to-head with the Iceman.
And hopefully, and I'm not saying necessarily it'll be us, but if I can get Coach or something like that to do an interview with me every week, we'll put a 20-minute segment on. But there is plans in my mind for equal radio time for the two clubs.
And those plans will be super solid until you shake your head, Mr. Etch-a-Sketch Brain.
What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, anywho, moving on. The 2015 IIHF Women's Hockey World Championship Gold Medal Game is this Saturday, the 4th, at 9 a.m. Central Time. It's that early because the tournament this year is in Sweden. It is not supposed to be on TV in the U.S., but TSN in Canada is airing it, so you can probably find a stream online if you know where to look. I'm not going to say where, because it's technically...
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah, frowned upon. The gold medal game will likely be U.S. against Canada, with both team rosters largely unchanged since the Sochi Olympics. The U.S. and Canada already met in the round-robin opener on Saturday. The Americans won that game 4-2, so if they meet again in the gold medal game, Canada will be looking for revenge. And it's worth noting that Team USA has a new head coach, was not their coach in the Olympics, but now their head coach is Ken Klee.
Yep, played for Washington
Capitals, 14 years and over 900 games in the NHL. He was a defenseman. Played largely for the Capitals, but he also spent a couple years with your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs and a few other teams, bounced around at the end of his career before retiring. And Klee is noteworthy to us because he was actually born in Indianapolis and is one of only 8 players in NHL history who were born in Indiana.
How about that?
Yeah. Only 4 of those 8 played more than 200 games, and they were Klee, defenseman John Michael Lyles from Indy,
former Leaf,
and former teammate of mine in youth hockey. He really was.
Yeah.
Defenseman Jack Johnson, who is also from Indy. And then tough guy Donald Brashear was born in Bedford.
He was a dandy.
The limestone capital of Indiana. And he's made out of granite. Moving on, the NCAA Frozen Four is coming up on April 9th and 11th. The teams still alive are Providence, Nebraska, Omaha. Talk about a bit of a ringer. You wouldn't expect them to be there necessarily.
They've had a decent little program for quite a while.
Yeah.
So.
They're just not a traditional power, but they've been good.
They got a good program.
North Dakota, that's a traditional power.
Yep.
And Boston University, that's another one.
Yep.
The semifinals are Thursday the 9th at 4 and 7:30 Central Time on ESPN2, and the championship is Saturday the 11th at 6:30 Central Time on ESPN.
Guess what I'll be doing.
Yeah.
If you, oh, crud.
Even if, what, are you going to be?
I'm going to be working on Saturday, but I'm not going to be doing a darn thing at 4 and 7:30 next Thursday, other than finding someone that has ESPN2,
because
I don't have cable.
So, even if you never watch college hockey, do yourself a favor, watch at least the championship game, because there is nothing quite like the Frozen Four final. It's always intense, it's always entertaining, and it's one of my favorite games to watch every year.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great thing and means a lot more to me than friggin' Kentucky trying to go undefeated.
I agree. And finally, we have to talk about Tankgate. Yes, we do.
We need another good political scandal so that we can come up with a different way of...
Instead of using gate?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Because everything's... How old is Watergate now? 40-some years ago. Yes, the Buffalo Sabres and Arizona Coyotes have been battling to finish last in the NHL and guarantee themselves one of the top 2 draft picks.
Arizona's been playing some really good hockey lately. They beat Detroit the other night.
Yeah, they're screwing up. They're tanking.
Well, it might mean that they're not tanking.
Yeah, of course, they want the first draft pick because Connor McDavid and Boston University's Jack Eichel are generally considered to be the best 1-2 combo in the draft in years. Interestingly, last Thursday, Arizona visited Buffalo, and the game atmosphere was somewhat surreal. Sabres fans brought posters of tanks. They even taped Coyotes logos to their own Sabres jerseys, and they openly booed when the Sabres scored and cheered when the Coyotes scored, and when Arizona scored the game winner in overtime to win and thus gain a point against the Sabres, the pop from the crowd was huge. It was really, really weird. I saw the video online, and surreal was a very good word for it. After the game, Sabres players were understandably upset and disappointed by the fan support, or lack thereof, from their own home fans.
I would be too.
Thoughts about that? Obviously, booing your own team and cheering when the opposing team scores is probably going a little over the line, but in general, are you okay with fans embracing the suck for the sake of future improvement? I mean, you're basically going to get a new franchise cornerstone player if you do finish last, and that's great for the future, but boy.
Yeah.
Booing your own team so that you guarantee it is that's a little much.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of it because you need more than one player. That's the Canadian mentality. If we have one center and one Norris Trophy defenseman and a goalie, then we can win the Stanley Cup every year. And all those guys are only going to make $2 million, and when they're not on the ice, they're going to be working at the hospital in the children's burn ward. And that's the Canadian mentality. And I've never been a fan. I don't understand how you get better losing. How do you develop when you lose? You can't. And just because you get a Connor McDavid or a Jack Eichel, you're still years away because your team sucks.
Yeah. You have that one awesome player and a bunch of junk.
So, you look at Pittsburgh. Just because they got Sidney Crosby didn't make them awesome. It was the fact that the year before they got Evgeny Malkin. And the year before they got Chris Letang. And the year before that they got Marc-Andre Fleury.
Flower.
So it takes years and years of these great players to turn around an 18-player rostered hockey club.
And even
it's
if
not
you,
basketball.
Even if you get a bunch of them, that's no guarantee that it's going to turn around.
Edmonton.
See Oilers, Edmonton, yes.
So I think it's stupid, and I wouldn't do it. And, yeah, and there's no even guarantee that either of these two are going to start in the NHL as 18-year-olds. So they may go to the Eichel can go to the AHL, and Connor McDavid may have to go back to junior. So we'll see. Unlikely, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, 7 years ago when everyone said, Eric Johnson should be the number one draft pick for the Blues because he was the only one that was NHL ready. And I kept saying, that Phil Kessel kid's good. And Boston took him fifth. And the only one that played his first year was Phil Kessel.
And Phil Kessel is a better player now. Not only was he better immediately, but he's still better now.
So, yep.
And
then the whole tanking thing is just silly. Like, I'm sure the NHL doesn't care, because if they did care, they would just take everyone that didn't make the playoffs, give them all the same opportunity. Jingle it, put 12 balls in. No, 14 balls in. Jingle them around.
Put your balls in.
Put your balls in. Jiggle them around and pull them out and be happy.
Wow.
Yep.
I got nothing.
Upcoming games. That's right, because I got another question for you after you've already chickened out the first time and agreed with me.
Mercifully, there are now only 6 games left for the Icemen, and they are all on the road. This week, they travel north and east. Tonight, the first at Fort Wayne, this Friday at Wheeling, and
I'll be there.
Saturday at Cincinnati. Next week, the team goes south and east, Wednesday at Gwinnett, Friday the 10th at Greenville, and the season finale is Saturday the 11th at South Carolina. And yes, this Friday's game in Wheeling, you will be joining DJ Abasala to do color for Nailers Radio.
I will be, as we make the push for the playoffs.
Puck drops at we.
We, oh yeah. Yeah, I'm a proud
You're
member
on
of
Nailers
Bully.
Bandwagon, are you?
I am Bully Nation through and through.
Puck drops at 6:35 on Friday night, and if Iceman fans want to listen to Mr. Benigni and Mr. Abasala, you can tune in online either on eagle1075.com or through iHeartRadio. Just search for WEGW.
We should be having a lot of fun, because DJ is a lot of fun. I've mentioned it before, but he's on the edge of professionalism, and he walks that line really well. Very excited, very clear speaking, but also his passion for the game and the passion for the Nailers comes through.
Do it hit brass bonanza?
Yeah. Listen in. It'll be a lot of fun. My question for you.
Yes, sir.
Do the Icemen win another game this season?
No.
No. See, there's a couple on there, like Fort Wayne loss, Wheeling loss, and Cincinnati loss.
Well, actually, wait. No. They got that Gwinnett game. They're almost
Gwinnett
as bad as we are.
And South Carolina, if they're not battling for a position on the last game, could be a throwaway game. And so what is your guess? How are they wrapping it up?
See, the thing is, though, like with South Carolina, even if they don't have anything to play for, the rosters aren't that big. It's not like you can rest half of your roster.
No, I know.
So, they could maybe sit a star or two, but they're still going to be a better team than we are.
So it's either 0-6
or
1-5 or 2-4 is my guess.
I'm thinking 1-5. I'll say 1-5. I think they will eke out a win, most likely that Gwinnett game, because as bad as we've been, they've been almost as bad, because they're really, really terrible too. I'd still say we're worse.
Oh, we are by far worse.
But I think we got a shot in that game. If we're going to win one, I think that's going to be the one. But it won't be Fort Wayne, won't be Wheeling. I would say Cincinnati, because they haven't been playing great lately, but they've had our
number
all year.
But they beat Toledo last night.
Yeah, and they've had our number all year. Yeah. I mean, even when we
were playing.
Well,
and they're playing for something.
Right. Even when we were playing halfway well, we'd go into there and lose 5-0. So, yeah, I'll say 1-5, But 0-6 won't shock me at all.
I'm saying 1-5, but I think they're going to get South Carolina.
You think
so? I think they're going to get the last game of the year.
Hmm.
I think South Carolina.
Go out on a winning note.
Yep.
They did it last year.
Yes, they did. Alex Aliardi in overtime.
I think they did it the year before that, too.
That I can't remember.
I'd have to go back and check.
Yep. Hmm. So, the dangling tangent.
So, for those who haven't heard, 96.9 Wired.
Bzzzt.
Yeah, there you go.
This is my first time.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite ready for that.
No.
It's not in my friggin' notes.
Let's try it again. 96.9 Wired.
Bzzzt. Yeah,
that's a little better. You got a little excited
there. Yeah, I did.
We
are the proud home.
Yes. Now broadcasting Demolition City Roller Derby bouts with none other than my broadcast partner here, Mr. Benigni, on play-by-play.
Yes, indeed.
The home opener was this past Saturday, so how did it go? Are you getting comfortable? Thoughts about doing it going forward, et cetera, et cetera?
We're doing the whole season. For the most part,
home and road.
Home. We are not doing Pittsburgh, but we are doing St. Louis next weekend. There's three bouts. It's actually a tournament, so we're going to do all three of those there, and we're going to do Nashville August 1st.
Really?
All the rest are at home. So, yep, we're doing all the bouts. I have been a fan of roller derby since the very first year. I remember back in the 70s watching it when it was more of a wrestling kind of thing. But I've been a huge fan. I don't know. A bunch of the girls have retired that I knew back in the day from 8 years ago, but they're still kind of around. It is a fantastic sport. It is fast. It is physical. It is a lot of fun. And we had a great time, great location at the Coliseum, upper deck, good
awesome
view.
Awesome venue.
Yes, awesome venue. Especially
perfect venue for roller derby.
Yeah, for the underground kind of climate that it is. And, yeah, we had an absolute blast, and I love it, and I can't wait to get on the road and call a few games.
And they just destroyed Vet City on Saturday.
Yeah, they did destroy them. They just Vet City was in – they're in a rebuild year. They had a bunch of the interesting thing with women's sports is when women get pregnant,
they can't play anymore.
Yeah, they can't play the whole season and then just take off the one game when they're giving birth to their child like men athletes do.
Yeah.
So, but they've lost a few, and they had a couple of college-age women leave the team because of moving to different colleges. So they're in a rebuild. But even though the score was crazy out of control, I think it was like 370-48, it was a battle. And the Dynamite Dolls from Evansville, they had more talent, but the physicality was unbelievable. There was girls getting bombed all over the track. It was a lot of fun.
How was the crowd?
I think it was 562, so it was a decent crowd. The Dynamite Dolls are ranked top 50 in the nation, and if you're in the top 50, you qualify for the World Championship at the end of the year, so that's their goal. They've got a big bout coming up in June against Detroit, and that'll be a big one right there. But, yeah, they made it to the World Championship last year, lost in an overtime jam by 1 point.
Oh.
And that was in Toronto. They traveled to Toronto for that.
That's really tough when you lose that close. Like, if you're going to lose, you'd rather just get blown out so that, you know, we just got beat by the better team. But when you lose that close, that's really heartbreaking.
Yep, it was a lot of fun. We've already got sponsors jumping on board and everything else, so it's working out really well.
Who's your color guy?
Blake Morales. I actually know him for years from crazy sword fighting stuff.
Really?
He does their public relations, and we've put this all together in 8 days. He just had an idea. Hey, I wonder if Wire would be interested in putting it on, and we did a two Sundays ago, we were down in Owensboro for an exhibition. Everything went smooth. We found some sponsors, and boom, off and running we went. So
it's the perfect marriage because if you step outside the Wired Coffee House and turn right and walk a block and a half, you're there.
Coliseum's right there, because I carried my own table over there on Saturday.
Yeah, that's really cool. So when's the St. Louis tournament?
A
week after Easter?
Yep, that April 11th that you were talking about with the Final Four. We have, I believe there's one bout on the 11th and two bouts on Sunday the 12th. But all that information is still getting finalized and everything else. DemolitionCityRollerDerby.com for information.
When's the Nashville?
That's August.
Oh, 8-1, later.
So,
cool.
Yep.
Cool. That'd be really cool. We should see if we get a maniac road trip, get a bunch of Iceman fans to go to Nashville, yeah. which is an awesome place to yep. visit, and go support DCRD on the road.
Yep, that should be a good one. So, final thoughts.
So, everyone have a happy and blessed Easter this weekend. If you're going to Guns N' Hoses on the 11th, enjoy yourself there.
Yep.
If you're,
I wish I was going.
Yeah, watch. If not, watch all the hockey. Like I said, World Championships this weekend, the Frozen Four, the weekend after that, all kinds of good stuff going on. We are going to be off next week, but
nothing to talk about.
Yeah, we will tentatively return in 2 weeks on Wednesday, the 15th, tax day.
Yes.
Ooh, bet you're excited for that.
To
get your wife back.
Yeah.
Or would you rather maybe. Throw her back?
Maybe, maybe not. We'll see how she behaves.
Gotcha. On our next show, we will wrap up the dismal Iceman season, and we'll talk some ECHL and NHL playoffs.
Playoffs?
Playoffs! Mainly the latter.
Yeah.
There won't be a whole lot of Iceman to talk. Yeah, so six more games.
IcemanManiacs.com. What?
Even when I write it down.
Well, it just says plug, and I knew I wasn't supposed to say plug. He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer. Dang it. I cannot talk tonight.
You mean he today? This
Michael Shockler. Oh,
1st.
Yeah, that's right.
Live.
Live. He is Michael Shockler, senior writer, webmaster. Shut up. IcemanManiacs.com. I will call you Don Breck for the rest of the year, I swear. And you've been listening to Iceman.
The rest of the year?
The rest of our broadcast season.
Oh, what, one more
96.9
show?
96.9 FM, WYR. What? We'll be doing, are you kidding? You're all silly season bringing in your seven pages of blah, blah, blah.
Pab Flabby. It's the Pab Flabby update of the week.
Breaking down the new Western Conference for us.
What station are we on? Is this Wired?
Yeah.
Wired?
96.9 FM Wired. I said it like 7 minutes ago.
Wired?
Yes, Wired.
I'm giving you the opportunity.
Oh, psst.
That was bad. Oh, terrible.
That sounded like a cricket or something.
Yeah. There's a cricket on speed here in the studio.
All right, let's wrap this up because I got to play another interview.
Oh, okay. So long. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.